It will be 9/11 times 2,356.
My God, that's... I don't even know what that is.
Nobody does.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I would be Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And welcome to Thursday, May 28th, 2009.
And while you try to figure out what 9/11 times 2,356 actually is, we'll spend the next 15 or 20 minutes or so analyzing the world around us in sort of a whirlwind tour.
I can tell you, however, if you are dialing 9/11... Don't do it because McDonald's left the orange juice out of your order.
Oh, my. This story from Hawaii of somebody who called 911.
No, it's not from Hawaii. It's from Oregon.
Oregon, I'm sorry.
It's a town called Aloha in Oregon.
Well, okay,
Listen to the, Derek only listened to the
911 call.
The MP3 that's online. We'll link to it. It's at OregonLive.com. Gentleman was really upset, and he called 9/11, and then the store called 9/11.
It sounded, when you listen to the clips back to back, it almost sounds like two kids in a kindergarten classroom. Teacher, he hit me. No, he hit me first.
Oh yeah, well, does this bug you? I'm not touching you.
Yeah. So the original caller was arrested, and I say, good thing too. Yeah, I'm here in the drive-thru, and the lady won't even come to the window now. Can you send police? Like. Please,
talk about a waste
people,
of money.
The 9/11 operator was gracious to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
At some point on that call, you have to say, is anyone hurt, bleeding, sick, dying? Is there a fire? No? Let me refer you to the non-emergency.
Hey, look, that was my first question to Nicole whenever she would run in and say, you need to do this for me right now. Okay, stop just a moment. Nope, you don't appear to be on fire. What else is going on?
Yeah. Well, what else is going on, of course, is that the U.S. military has elevated the readiness of our military forces to DEFCON 2 in response to what Kim Jong-il, or Kim Jong-zilla, as he'd like to believe himself, and is saber-rattling. So now DEFCON 2, if I understand correctly, is that that is the second highest alert status?
The only thing above that is DEFCON 1.
Hmm. Well,
there's no zero that I know of.
You know, is this guy, does he really grasp the implications of what he's doing? Is this something that...
Well, I think the experts are going to have to answer that one. He seems cartoonish. And over here, of course, you know, American media makes him appear even more cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I ever would with Photoshop. Kim Jong-zilla. But come on, that hair, you just can't help it. But as far as being the head of state of a country that has no money and no prospects, he really is. I refer to him in an article I wrote at PID News as the mouse that roars.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to get us to notice him, and the only way he knows how is to have nuclear arms. But you know what? It may have gone past that at this point. He may have realized that Iran is going to be a great customer.
Mm-hmm. The technology that he's developing and the...
Yes. In fact, in 2006, the first nuclear test, Iran technicians were there during the missile launch in April of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Iran was there. They sent a letter of congratulations. Ahmadinejad said, I look forward to sharing with you in space exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Code for missile technology.
Yeah. Well, the Telegraph in the UK is reporting that in response to Kim Jong-il's missile rattling, the 700,000 South Korean soldiers just across the demilitarized zone and 30,000 United States troops have been put on what they're calling WatchCon 2, which is the second highest level of surveillance alert. Now, I don't see any reference to DEFCON 2, which is, I think, perhaps a different character.
It may not be the same. I know the U.S. Army is on DEFCON 2.
Yeah. So we'll put links in the show notes at PIDradio.com. But it's always tough to tell what his real end game is. I mean, clearly,
well,
Kim Jong Il
came right out and said that the 1953 armistice is over.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to abide by that, which essentially was a ceasefire, which
the war never really ended.
No, it didn't.
Right. As far as the, I mean, if you're officially keeping score, North Korea and South Korea are still officially at war,
mm-hmm.
In spite of the fact
they very much are now. Yeah. Armistice is now over.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see what happens here. I mean, this is, you know, I talked about this a little bit with Lynn Marzulli in the PID radio special last night. And Kim Jong-il and his nuclear capabilities, combined with the desire of Iran to have these capabilities, it really makes this a much more dangerous world than it's been at any time, probably since the 1950s, mm-hmm. you know, during the Cold War. I'm a little too young to remember what that was like. I didn't really come aware until the later 1960s when the Cold War wasn't quite as cold as it was at the peak of the Eisenhower and Kennedy years. You know, I wasn't there during the Cuban Missile Crisis where...
It was
a lot of people thought
that
we were just moments away from the missiles actually flying. And, you know, and because of that, now the situation with this nuclear technology in the hands of an unstable man like Kim Jong-il and potentially in the hands of another unstable leader or an unstable regime in mm-hmm. Iran. And by unstable, I mean one that is willing to commit an act of suicide, essentially, mm-hmm. if in the act they can also take out a big chunk of their enemy. In this case, it would be Israel.
Well, and my understanding is that part of Ahmadinejad's religious beliefs are that he needs to wage these wars mm-hmm. on infidels in order to pave the way for the Mahdi to come back.
Hmm.
He really does see himself as someone who's going to enable the Mahdi to arise again.
Yeah.
Come out of his cave.
And that's dangerous when you're trying to... And this is why I think so many progressives, humanists, secularists primarily, don't understand what's going on. You know, the real nature of the battle, not just between Iran and Israel, but the real nature of the struggle that we face every day, the one that Paul described in Ephesians 6:12.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it. They don't understand that there are forces at work beyond the ones that they can see on their TV screen. And they don't understand that there are people out there who are motivated, compelled to act on the supernatural struggle, the supernatural, you know, and perhaps in accordance either willingly or unknowingly
mm-hmm.
with those supernatural forces. In other words, as you say, somebody like Ahmadinejad who thinks that he's doing God's work by taking out the infidel, you know, a humanist can't comprehend that. They just see that as irrational, unbalanced, insane.
Well, I think sadly
behavior.
There are way too many Christians who can't put their heads around it either.
Right. And that's why we do this show. In hope that one or two might say, you know what? We really don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Exactly.
Paul,
because honestly, this show is a ministry to the church, to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But we also know that we have lots of listeners who are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're praying for you.
Amen. Amen. But if you don't start from that point where you believe in the supernatural and then believe that, as Lynn Marzulli put it last night, the Bible is the guidebook to the supernatural. It is the instruction manual
mm-hmm.
for dealing with the supernatural. If you don't come at it from that standpoint, most of what we talk about is just you're not gonna get it, and we'll come off like loons.
No. Well, there's another article that I want to point people to that is at, I need to link to it here just because I can't remember the link. But it's one of the main articles of PID News. If you go there, Ynet News is where it is. Ynetnews.com, written by. I apologize for that. He essentially, the headline, and he wrote it, I did not, is World War III Has Started.
That's compelling.
He's taking
it
very, very silter. Eitan Haber
mm-hmm.
Wrote this, or Haber, it may be pronounced. It's a chilling article. He really, really does believe that North Korea's instability is going to be essentially the first brick of the wall that's tumbling down, and then we're all going to go. He says one needs to be deaf, blind, and an idiot at this time in order not to understand that the nuclear bomb tested in North Korea 2 days ago also exploded in the prime minister's office in Jerusalem. And it goes from there. So I highly recommend you read it.
Yeah. Elsewhere around the world, Nancy Pelosi, who fled the interview. It's the reference to Fargo there, yeah. And the questions regarding her stance on, you know, what she knew about torture and when she knew it is in Beijing. And speaking in China, in Beijing yesterday, or, well, earlier today, I guess it's already yesterday in the Far East, but essentially said that in order to ensure the basic human right of a clean environment, that all aspects of our lives need to be subject to inventory.
Yes, every aspect of your personal life should be open to inventory.
Yep.
Lovely.
Now, I suppose she might have been speaking metaphorically, meaning that we all need to look at the way we live and make changes. But I would be a little more open to a socialist like Nancy Pelosi talking about taking an inventory of my life if she hadn't been the one arguing that the Speaker of the House, her, needed a private jet to fly back and forth between Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. She's so important that she should be allowed to burn up lots and lots of carbon to fly back and forth across the country rather than, say, flying coach.
Yes.
Or flying less regularly, perhaps telecommuting from San Francisco.
Flying toasters.
Yeah. So just another little data point to factor into your analysis of what the green movement is really all about.
The urinalysis?
Yes. That's,
you know, there's
peeing in the darkness. That's the
speaking of the green movement and this whole Gaia worship thing, I found a site today that really, you know, it. I first looked at it and thought, this is a joke, but it's not, folks. It's vhemt.org. The Voluntary Human Extinction Movement.
Yes.
Their logo, I'm not joking, is May We Live Long and Die Out.
I'll just nip off and shoot myself.
Exactly.
Don't worry, I'll be humane. Oh, boy. Well, you know what I say to them? Good on you. You go first.
Gosh.
I know. That's not a subject to be taken lightly.
That's terrible.
It is. Essentially, they are advocating, what is the word for self-genocide? I mean, the word for...
Suicide?
Suicide, you know, but that's an individual thing. What are you talking about when you're talking about suicide for an entire species? Is there a word for such a thing? Because that's what they are proposing, that we as a human race willingly sacrifice ourselves to Mother Earth, to Gaia.
I know. What I love is when you go to their site and you look at their logo, it's got a giant V.
V.
Yes, a giant V. Now, anytime I see a giant V over the Earth, I think about that reptilian alien movie.
Which is being remade, by the way.
I know, yeah. I know.
Talked about that last night.
Okay, why is their logo a giant V? Yeah, that's what Sam wants to know, too. He's down here
whimpering. Said, this really...
Yeah, I'm not whimpering. I'm commenting.
If all my people are gone, who'll give me snacks? Well...
This is a spiritual thing. You know,
it is.
We're laughing about it, but the truth is that even though it does look like a joke site, it is not a joke. These people honestly believe that the human race should be culled.
Mm-hmm. In order to preserve the Earth, because the Earth...
And they come right out and say, to preserve Gaia.
Yeah, because they believe that Gaia is an entity, a sentient...
Well, Gaia is the name of a goddess.
Right. They're worshiping the creation instead of the creator, and that is, again, another aspect of the whole green movement. So, one of the more disturbing veins of research that we've been tracking over the last few years is the excellent work done by Paul and Philip Collins into the ruling class-sponsored race wars, or instigated race wars, if you will. The balkanization of America, deliberately fracturing the country into warring factions so as to keep us at each other's throats and thus less likely to resist their machinations. It's a tactic that is time-honored and proven If the Celtic tribes of ancient Britain hadn't been at each other's throats, the Anglo-Saxons wouldn't have taken over. It would still be Britain today instead of Angleland, you know, the Anglo-Saxons. Same thing with the Indian tribes, the Native American tribes here in the United States. If the Iroquois and the Shawnee, for example, had been able to get along, they could have wiped out the settlers, but they were too busy fighting each other and other tribes, so on and so forth. So we just want to point out something that being reported today at WorldNet Daily, the new Supreme Court nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, according to the American Bar Association, is a member of the National Council of La Raza. La Raza means the race. We talked about La Raza before. Won't go into it in depth here, but essentially it's a group that believes that the southwestern United States should still belong to Mexico. Mm-hmm. The race. I mean, they're not talking about, you know, running.
Why would she belong to that? She's Puerto Rican.
Good point. I don't know. So,
she is also arguing, or has argued in the past, that a Supreme Court ruling on a constitutionality of the Second Amendment, mm-hmm, as regards to Washington, D.C., does not apply to the entire country.
Wait a minute. So the right to bear arms,
only their interpretation in that instance does not apply to the entire country. In fact, she goes on in her opinion to say that individual states have the right to enact whatever gun laws they choose, even if they are in conflict with the Second Amendment.
Now, let's just see if she applies that logic to any case that comes before the Supreme Court challenging the constitutionality of Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that only applied to the state where it was originally filed. Doesn't apply. The states are free to do whatever they want. I don't think that's going to fly.
No, and that's not in the opinions that are written either. These, mm-hmm, these things go to the Supreme Court because these are things that are it's a question of, has my constitutional right, mm-hmm, been affected?
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to apply to every citizen of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Not only to those who live
States.
In a certain state.
Yeah. So we'll see how that flies. I don't think that she is going to be denied the right to denied her appointment.
No,
I don't
she'll get in.
She'll get in.
Unless there's some little nanny thing or something.
Yeah, or an income tax thing. But the fact that she appears to be an activist judge who belongs to a racist organization, that's not going to stop her.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that irony? Isn't it ironic?
That's ironic.
Yeah. Just imagine if Barack Obama had appointed a white guy who's a member of the, say, Sons of the Confederacy. And you'll get a sense of what should be happening but won't. The other little bit of political news, which is just kind of an interesting side note. Now, I don't know whether we can document this, but apparently some journalists have analyzed the list of Chrysler franchisees. Okay, Chrysler dealers who got their letter saying, well, we're going to pull your franchise. There were 789 of them across the country, and found that of those 789 closing franchises, by comparing those owners against a list of political donors, found that 90% of them donated to Republican candidates and less than 10% gave to Democrats. Now, that would seem
that's interesting.
A little statistically improbable at best, doesn't it?
So mainly Republicans like Chryslers, huh?
That must be it. That must be it. I mean, we don't know what the percentage of donors to political parties is among the Chrysler dealers who will retain their franchises. So, you know, I just throw this out, little data for you to analyze. It just seems that this 90-10 split seems statistically improbable. So, you know, this is what you get when the government takes over running
what
industry.
Yes. And we have killer bees in South Utah.
Killer bees in South Utah?
Killer bees.
Huh.
The honeybees are disappearing, but the killer bees are still around.
And that's pretty far north. It gets cold in Utah in the wintertime.
It does
places.
Indeed. It
yeah.
does.
You know, there's a town in southeast Utah called Moab?
I did know that.
Yeah.
It's the mother of all towns. Oh, that would be Moet.
Maybe it's the mother of all bergs. I don't know.
Bees.
Well.
Oh, there was one other thing that I don't think we've talked about. Did we talk about the gooey stuff underneath Nevada?
The giant blob beneath Nevada.
We didn't talk about the blob underneath Nevada.
No.
Considering that Nevada had all of that, I mean, that cluster of earthquakes last year. and the year before. It was just pinging constantly. And they were all, you know, threes and three and a half, and they were almost all in the same little region. I'd like to know, is this blob, this honey-like globule thing mm-hmm. hanging underneath that area?
That would be interesting to know. We'll do some more research on that, and we'll put a link to an article about that in the show notes at PIDradio.com. I was curious to know if it was biological material, but apparently it's just some sort of weird, soft, dripping, cold rock.
Goo.
Yeah, goo. One final note that I have to toss out there. Russian scientist says that the 1908 Tunguska crash in Siberia, you know, where trees were flattened for hundreds of miles around, was the result of a UFO that deliberately crashed into a meteor to save the Earth. Dr. Yuri Lobvin, president of the Tunguska Spatial Phenomenon Foundation, says that an alien spacecraft sacrificed itself to save the Earth from a killer meteor.
Sacrificed itself.
Yeah. Now, normally you see stories like this at Pravda, which is Russia's answer to the mm-hmm. Weekly World News. This is at Fox News. So this guy really exists and really made this claim. He may be ate up. But we point it out because, again, it's part of the meme that's being floated. That
precisely.
Aliens are out there. They probably created us. At the very least, they're watching us, and they're there to help us mm-hmm. evolve to the next level.
Which so reminds me, we need to get The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake.
Ah, yes.
Because it's different mm-hmm. than the original, I understand. We'll have to add that to our queue.
Yeah. And what is that, about the eighth movie now where Keanu Reeves plays the savior of the
Earth? Mankind, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you've got any other suggestions for our queue or other movies that Keanu Reeves starred in where he saves the Earth from itself, you can send those suggestions to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
We're also on Twitter. It's twitter.com/PID Radio. You can find both Derek and me at Facebook. And by the way, since my computer crashed last week, I still am trying to rebuild the update, the newsletter list. So if you had been on the newsletter list from my site, Sharon, but I also send PID stuff out, please sign up again.
And don't forget the PID, the Piercing the Darkness Forum, is there to discuss these various things and to just kind of tip us off to other interesting stories that we should talk about on The Daily Show. You'll find the link there at PIDradio.com. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is PID Radio.